Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Beyond the Basics, the podcast designed to help ACA brokers and agents close more deals and maximize commissions. I'm Mickey, and today we're talking about the five biggest mistakes that are costing you thousands of dollars in ACA sales. We know that you're very busy with the hustle and the bustle of city life, meeting people every day and helping families and individuals. We understand how important it is for you to have necessary resources and tools for you to have the competitive advantage in the market. The purpose of this series is to identify the biggest mistakes that U65 brokers make in the market that cost thousands of dollars in commissions, and to listen to some of the industry top leaders to their feedback and ideas that can help us prevent them. I'm really excited to announce that we have two special hosts that are making strides in the ACA under 65 industry, Mr. Beck Saifaliev and Mamdu Nassar. Both Beck and Mamdu have been working in the communities for the past 10 years, and they've received a plethora of awards for U65 and Medicare performance for New York City. We invited them to come share their thoughts, ideas, and to help guide you on their perspective and what can help you dominate your ACA sales. How you doing?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Mike?
Okay. Awesome. Guys, it's such a pleasure to have you. I know that you're extremely busy. It's 7:26 p.m. today on a Friday. You guys are still working. It's just unbelievable. I'm happy that you gave me an opportunity to give me just a moment of your time, and I know how valuable this is. Why don't you just quickly introduce yourself and just give us a little background about who you are, the population that you deal with, and we already know how many years you've been in the industry. So go right ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Beck. I've been in the Medicare business since 14. I've been dealing mostly with the seniors on the Medicare side of the business, but the last 3 years I got into the ACA as well. And That's my story, basically.
And you speak five different languages, which is really fantastic. I've seen you work, and I've seen you work ACA. You're one of the top producers, and you also do other states, not only New York. But New York is one of those winning states here. There's so much business. Thank you for sharing. Mamdu, why don't you just say a few things about yourself?
Hi, my name is Mamdu, and I'm an insurance broker. I've been working for more than 3 years. I've been one of the top brokers in New York City area for the last 3 years.
Thank you for sharing. So today we're talking about the five biggest mistakes that are costing you thousands of dollars in ACA sales. Most agents don't even realize they're making these mistakes, but once you fix them, you'll immediately see higher conversions, better retention, and bigger commission checks. So let's dive into this right now. The first big thing, right? Then the first biggest mistake, not following up fast enough. 78% of leads go with the first broker who calls them back. Do you think that this is true? For this question, guys, I just want to get some feedback from you, Ulbeck. So go right ahead.
Yes, that's true. And basically, once you have the lead, you need to call right away. It's like emergency. You have to leave whatever you're doing and call the client and try to catch them first before anybody else. And not only that, you need to follow up to make sure you finish the job. Not just call them, but make sure you enter them in the system before anybody else does it before you.
So if you're waiting more than 5 minutes to respond to a lead, are you already losing money?
You could, at least if you don't have time, call and tell them, hey, this is, for example, your name, and I do have an appointment with you, and I want to know if I can call you back in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So they're expecting a call from you. So they're not going to call, speak to nobody else since they promised you that they're going to speak to you in 10 minutes. So it's best to call them right away, even if you're busy, just to get there. Okay. Just speak later.
Okay. Gotcha. A lot of times we do have people that call from the New York State of Health, and especially people that are just searching in the market or people that are being referred to you because your name is on the state exchange. Now, obviously these people have three or four people that they're going to call. And if you're the first one in the list and you don't pick up the phone, they will try to connect with the second broker. And if the second broker doesn't pick up, they will try to go with the third broker. But sometimes you have situations where you do communicate with them. Let's say they call you, they leave you a message, and you call them back, not within 5 minutes. And then they are already dealing with another broker, and then they are pretty much trying to, you know, decide, okay, you know what, should I go with you or should I go with the other guy? So what can help you? Let's say it took you half an hour to get back to them, right? I think that the likelihood of losing that person is very high. But let's say you haven't lost that person yet and they're making a decision to either go with you or, let's say, three other brokers. So what'll help you tell them so that they can decide to go with you? What would be that decision breaker, I would say?
I'm going to be honest with you. It did happen to me. You can always pick up all the phone calls right away. Yeah. If you're on the phone, of course, you can pick up the next phone. It did happen to me. I called back. The person said, oh, you didn't pick up. I spoke to someone else and they're helping me already. What I would do in this situation, I do respect their decision working with somebody else, but I still introduce them myself, letting them know to save my number, and it could help them in the future to renew their coverage, or it may help someone else. So I have gotten the referral this way as well. Even if it's late, even if they're working with somebody else, just call and build that relationship to get the leads in the future. So they know that you're a responsible person. Give them back. That means a lot to them. That's what I think.
Gotcha. Well, you know, thank you for sharing. So also, I also want to share a situation I recently had. So there was a person that called in. It was a lead. And usually I just ask him a few questions before I relay them to one of the brokers. So he was looking for coverage for his wife. And he already had a plan. He was on one of the essential plans. And he just called because he needed some information. So his question had to do with a certain procedure that most insurances don't cover, and I was kind enough to take my time and to do some further research into, you know, maybe if there could be a possibility for one of the insurances to cover that procedure. That procedure is a very important procedure because it had to do with his wife having a child. And he thought that I was very nice over the phone, and I said, well, let's do this. So let's stay in touch. And then, is there a particular language preference? And he said, yeah, I speak Urdu. And I said, well, you know, if you need somebody to help you during the renewal time, please keep us in mind. We can certainly help you. He said, you seem like a very nice guy. And the current person that helped me, that person is not answering their phone and they're not being that responsive. And I said, well, look, sometimes it happens, you know, people do get very busy. However, you know, if you need our assistance or guidance, we're more than happy to help. Now, when somebody calls you on the phone and they're asking you questions, one of the things that you have to be doing, which is important, and all of us do this, is we transfer their accounts to our dashboard. Why? Because before you can answer some of those questions, you would need to review their application first and see what insurance they're on. Are they on QHP? Are they on the Essential plan? Are they on Medicaid, right? These questions are very important. And you want to make sure that the information that they're giving you also matches with the information that's in the system. Spending some more time with this person, they also disclosed that they were making a higher income, that they didn't qualify for Medicaid. Medicaid didn't cover the procedure that they needed, but this year they had an update in their income. And for some reason, their Medicaid coverage was terminated and they got the eligibility to go on the Essential plan. Now, the big problem there was that they did not qualify for the Essential plan. So you have situations where people are calling you and you are the person, you are the professional. You have to make sure that the work that you're doing speaks quality. You have to make sure that people call you, they reach out to you because you know how to do your job, you know how to do this work, and that you're the best at what you do. This is what makes you number one in the industry, I would say, you know, Beck. And I know that if you're in this situation, you would likely conduct yourself the same way. But, you know, this is very important. You're going to be receiving calls and questions from people, and you have to be honest on the phone, and you have to use your knowledge and expertise to help every possible situation. And in this particular situation, there was obviously more than one problem. The issue with his wife, who needs a certain procedure done that insurance is not covering. And then the other issue where their income is higher than the projected amount for the essential plans. So just a quick consultation on IRA products and plans and the way and things that they can use to add as deductions towards this year has also helped this person understand that they actually would qualify for the essential plans as long as they have, let's say, an IRA account and they're putting out, I would say, 7 to 14,000 between the two couples. So that significantly helped lower their income and keep them in the essential plan, the 200 to 250. So the knowledge that you bring is also very important. And in this case, this person had a broker that had helped them who wasn't responsive, and they actually were very willing to switch brokers, and they were interested in having me service the account, although I had to tell them that it wasn't going to be me, but one of our brokers from Affordable Care. So with that being said, back on the first mistake, not following up fast enough. What is your take on this, Mamdou?
Regarding the first mistake, I would say you would have to follow up with people not just once or twice. Obviously, you have to follow up very quickly with them. But even if they don't answer or they refuse to enroll in a plan from the first time you call them, mm-hmm. you have to call them more than once. I remember I've seen some statistics about most people don't buy the first time. Only 2 to 5% would buy from you on the first call. And that number gets up to about 80% if you call them more than 7 times. Mm-hmm. One mistake that people don't do is they call someone once, they refuse to sign up, they would never call them again. You would have to keep following up with them maybe once on the first day, mm-hmm. once after a week, once after 2 weeks, once in a month, once after 2 months. Because sometimes people, they change their decisions based on what they have. Maybe they just signed up for a plan recently and they thought it's going to be good. Then they realize that they don't like it and they're looking for a new broker to sign up for a new plan. So the key is to follow up quickly, and if they refuse to buy from you, then you keep following up with them.
Okay, wonderful. And so what do both of you guys think as far as the solution goes to this problem? What would you recommend?
I would say to keep an Excel sheet to keep uh-huh. track of everyone you call. Make sure you, as soon as you get the lead, you call them immediately. Mm-hmm. And just within the Excel sheet, you set the dates when you have called them and follow up with them. Set the dates for all the times that you could follow up with them from the first attempt all the way to the 7 or 8 attempt. And just keep following up. And every time you call them, keep notes.
Okay, wonderful. So one of the solutions that I have here as well is to set up a CRM for instant lead notification, right? And for you to keep track, which would actually help you stay very organized and on top of everything. And this goes in line with whatever it is that you're saying. Okay, wonderful. And Beck, what do you suggest as far as the solution goes to this problem?
I would say if you are one of these busy brokers that you get tons of calls, I think what could help the best is you have some kind of answering system, or the person picks up your phone and make an appointment, or let them know that you're on the other call and they will call them back. Try to let them know that you're not ignoring them and you are aware that they're trying to reach and you're going to call them back. And maintaining the client's relationship, it's like a family, like how you call your family members, like every other holidays, or you should call them, you should text them and let them know that they're important, they're not just client.
So this falls in line with automated SMS and email follow-ups. And that's great that you mentioned this, because this is part of the solutions as well. And having automated SMS and email and follow-ups do help you stay on top of your business. It helps you stay organized. And it also helps run your little campaigns in a very good way. Compared to someone that's not doing it, it definitely puts you on top. And it definitely helps you in many different ways. Another thing that I do want to mention is that always allow up to at least 5 times for the follow-ups. So follow up at least 5 times. Most sales happen after the 3rd and 4th attempt. Okay. And then another word of advice would be to have a good social media strategy. So for example, a lot of the people that use the New York State of Health or that get recommended to, let's say, use a broker, or the people that use the portal to find a good broker, they Google the name of the broker. And if you are, let's say, on the list of 5 brokers, right, that they retrieve from the website from the New York State of Health, and they Google each broker's name, and they see that, okay, you know what, broker 1 and broker 2 have 50, 60 reviews on Google. The other brokers don't really have a Google profile, don't have social media, don't really have good reviews or testimonials, then, you know, that definitely puts you closer to the top, right? When they see these reviews and they see how many people you help in the community, especially if you have a 5-star review, then most likely they will call you back. And it makes a very big difference as well, just based off of currently from the feedback of the brokers that we have that are working with us as well. Okay, awesome. And Beck and Mamda, thanks for the feedback on that. Now, my next question is not educating clients on subsidies. Many agents assume clients already understand ACA subsidies, but most don't. So if you're not explaining how they qualify for a 0 premium plan, then you're losing sales. What do you think about that? So let's start off with you, Beck.
Like you said, the education is very important. You have to let them know what mm-hmm. they could get and what you could do for them. So basically, when you interact with them, you should tell, basically you should look how you can improve their situation. I have seen a lot of people that they think they're not eligible for no insurance because they think they're working. They tell me, don't bother, I'm not eligible because I'm working. And I ask them questions. What makes you think that you're not eligible? Did you, based on your, are you doing the 1099? Are you doing the W-2? Did you look at your yearly tax? So basically, they have to look into their taxes. So I have clients, they make $200,000 a year or $300,000 a year on 99, but they have huge expenses. And at the end of the year, when you really look at their taxes, they have $20,000, $30,000. Adjust cross income. And when they find out they're eligible, they're even shocked they are. It's important that you educate them and let them know what is the income limit for each plan or benefit, you call it, essential plan 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever the case be.
Wow, this is really mind-blowing. Whatever it is that you're telling me right now, that's just really amazing. I could never imagine that somebody that's making an income that's so high could possibly, you know, qualify for the ACA subsidies. And I think that a lot of times, yeah, you're in a position where you have to explain, and you have to explain clearly, cohesively, so that they understand what it is that they qualify for and have the resources and tools to help the individuals identify how much they qualify for and whether they qualify for a 0 premium plan or not. There are certainly different factors that you have to be looking at And thank you for sharing those factors, because a lot of brokers that do get into this business, especially the new agents that are coming in, new brokers that are coming in, these are the questions that they're asking, and then they would love to understand what the criteria would be to help somebody who thought that they weren't eligible actually qualify, or if you can illuminate all these things to them and help them understand that, hey, you know what? You do qualify for ACA, you do qualify for EP coverage, and the other subsidies are available to you. So that's really important. Thank you for sharing that. Now, now, Mamdou, so what is your take on that?
I think a lot of clients, they have misconceptions about what they qualify for versus what they don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of my clients would think that they don't qualify for one plan, but then they realize that they actually do qualify. Now, especially in New York, with the expansion of Essential Plan 200, 250, that made a lot of more people qualify.
We're gonna get into that. You're jumping ahead. You're a very smart guy. You're jumping ahead. This is gonna get even more interesting in a minute.
That's part of the education, because if they don't know that they qualify because of a recent change in the rules, then they don't know that they qualify. And your job as a broker is to help educate these people, let them know that they qualify, that things change. Maybe last year they didn't qualify, this year they do. And that's really part of your job.
Wonderful. So that's also very important to know. And thank you for sharing that. I would say that one of the solutions would also be to use simple language when you're communicating with these people, and to communicate in slowly, but also to identify maybe there's another language that they're more comfortable in speaking, or maybe there's somebody in the household that they're more comfortable in speaking with, right? Because we're dealing with so many different types of people. And sometimes you have people who get assistance from family members to help them make decisions. This is also very important. We deal with a lot of very diverse clients from different walks of life, and we try to help everyone. So sometimes we really got to dumb down our language and communication, or sometimes we need to just improve our ability to speak in simple terms instead of using different jargons that people don't understand, especially in healthcare. Other things is you can always share some real examples of savings to build trust. Let's say, for example, just Beck shared with us that I had a gentleman who was making so much, and he didn't know that he qualified for the ACA because he was on a 1099. And there are certainly other factors that come into play when somebody works as a 1099, or if they're a freelancer, or if they're self-employed. There are a lot of different factors that come into play. And any brokers that are looking for guidance or assistance in that aspect of things, they can always reach out to our help hotline, right? We have a hotline with Affordable Care Agents, or you can just reach out directly to Beck and Mamdou, right? You guys are always here to help, which is very nice. And I guess we can share the details and later on in this podcast for people to connect with you. And the other thing is, you want to position yourself as an expert who simplifies healthcare costs. That's pretty much self-explanatory. We're here to try to simplify, right? Just we're here to have the resources and information and simplify it in a very easy language and communication that people understand. Now, I want to get into the third most common mistake. And this is very, very, very important here. So ignoring the Medicaid churn opportunity. There are over 3 million people who lose Medicaid eligibility every year. And if you're not targeting these clients, you're missing a huge revenue stream. What do you think about this, Mamdou?
I think there is so much potential for ACA, because every year there's more people who qualify for ACA compared to the year before. The income is increasing. The limit for Medicaid, it increases at a lower pace compared to the income increasing for people. The chart, it's around 17,000 for a single person to qualify for Medicaid. Most people nowadays, they make more money than that. And they no longer qualify for Medicaid, or and once they lose coverage, they think that's all they qualify for, using
Yes.
government subsidies.
Yes.
Most people don't even know that ACA exists in the first place.
Oh,
So if you're able
absolutely.
to find these people who just lost Medicaid recently, maybe by you gotta find a way just to target these people, and just these people alone are gonna be very good clients.
So when you're working in the field, right, out of every 10 people, how many people tell you, oh, I don't qualify for Medicaid?
Most people that I sign up think they don't qualify for anything.
Okay. And the thing is that the essential plans with the New York State of Health are specifically designed for people who actually don't.
Yeah, and the expansion is much higher than Medicaid.
So in other words, if over 3 million people lose Medicaid eligibility every year, and let's say their income is under 60,000, right? Or let's say if you're using an income chart or whatever it is, that means that a lot of those people would qualify for the essential plans, correct?
The limit for essential plan 200 to 250 for a single person, it's around 37,000.
Okay.
Compared to Medicaid, which is only 17,000. So the limit is more than double compared to Medicaid. So that brings a lot of people to qualify, people who have lost Medicaid recently or people who did not qualify last year for essential plan.
And
so that
means, and people who are working professionals, right?
Yes, of course. And
then
you get people who are sometimes getting an insurance through their job.
Yeah.
But they're paying a lot more than what they would have paid if they get it through a state exchange, like New York City of Health. And once these people find out that they could save money that way, they also would sign up with you.
That's just phenomenal. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure that people that are listening to this podcast are really going to enjoy just the things that you've mentioned here, which are very important things. Now, what do you think about this, Beck? Over 3 million people lose Medicaid eligibility every year, and that if you're not targeting these clients, you're missing a huge revenue stream.
Mom just covered most of it, but I would add, yes, if you could reach this population, you should reach them to help them out. So like Mom said also, yes, they think they lost Medicaid and that's end of it. Most people don't know that there's an essential plan or something else exists. So you have to educate them, tell them this is what you can do, this is what you can get, and those are the benefits you get. Basically, even though they're losing Medicaid, but like essential two, it's covering their benefits at almost same level, at no co-payments, if they're eligible for it. Yes, if you could reach that community, you should. And you don't want to leave the money on the table. So you're helping them, and you're also helping your situation. You're writing check for yourself as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Keep in mind, you have people who have Medicaid through HRA, which is different from the marketplace. And HRA goes through their periods when they're just taking people off who don't qualify. And these people are under the impression that, okay, you know what? I don't qualify for the HRA for this Medicaid, and I don't think I can get coverage. Now I have to scram for trying to find maybe some private insurance or get it through my employer, but they don't understand that they can still qualify for the New York State of Health coverage through the marketplace. And that's also very interesting. And then people who, you know, I know that immigration has been a very, very interesting topic, very trendy topic lately because of what's going on, because New York is such a diverse state, and there were people that were coming from other states to New York as a safe haven, and the people who are in the process of getting their documents, and people who, let's say, were filing for asylum, and you know, people that are in PRUCAL status and DACA status, right? And, you know, the New York State of Health, they came out recently with guidance as to how we ought to help these individuals. And a lot of these individuals don't qualify for Medicaid. If they might have had Medicaid before, there's a group of people, let's say they're in the process of getting their documents, so they had active Medicaid. And then maybe they didn't provide all the proper documentation, and then they were taken off of Medicaid. Now, is there a possibility for them to go on essential plans? Mom Dubek, what do you think?
A lot of people do qualify for essential plan once they get their documents. Usually once they get their work permit or their asylum, they would qualify. And most people think that they would only qualify if they have a green card or a citizenship.
Well, there's certainly a list of individuals that fall into the Prucall status and which ones would qualify for EP coverage, which most likely would be EP3 or EP4. If they are part of the 3 million people that are losing Medicaid every year, then these people could possibly be, a good window to look into and to explore, right? Now, hopefully we do have new developments and possibly new guidelines that will be coming out from the New York State of Health. So stay tuned, and we're going to have that in our next podcast. But as far as solutions go, what do you guys recommend as far as the solutions go for, not missing out on these opportunities for people who lost their Medicaid and, not missing that huge revenue stream? What would be some solutions that you think are, I would say, workable for you guys?
Well, keep eye on your renewals. You may have people with the Medicaid who is eligible for Medicaid due to whatever reason. Even if they have a higher income, they may have a Medicaid for next 12 months. Those people, they're losing the Medicaid. So you need to update and renew their coverage. So they might end up being in an essential plan, 2 or 1 or even 200-250. So just follow up. If we go back to our first topic, just follow up, maintain the relationship, and keep checking your account to make sure that you're not missing any renewal, which is going to do bad to you and to your client.
So pretty much run text and email campaigns targeting clients who lose Medicaid, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that advice here. And Mamdu, what do you think?
I think you should keep checking the documents your client's been getting, especially for immigration. Their status keep updating, and you got to make sure they're the correct one, because based on their status, they might have changed. They might qualify for something else. Depending on the documents they have, they might be qualifying for essential plans. And I'm sure we have seen that a lot in the past 2 years, because most people who have come to New York and they got asylum, they were able to actually qualify after not being able to qualify. So following up with these people, it might be a great source of income.
Do you think that there's any other advice that you can give the brokers that are out there and trying to make it happen, especially the new ones?
Not really. You just gotta be part of a community that. Usually, you want to ask for referrals from your clients as well.
Got it. So you just hit the pin on the head right there. So partner with clinics, tax preparers, and community organizations that serve Medicaid clients, right?
Might even partner up with the immigration lawyers who would tell you who the clients who just get their work permit or their asylum. And that might be a great source of leads for you.
That's amazing. This is exactly the information that I was looking for, especially for people that are starting off with the U65 market. Just direct information from people that are working the field on a day-to-day basis, especially you, Mamdu. I know you've been very successful in this field, and I really appreciate your time today. From your bustling life in New York, and I know that you were in the middle of helping a few more clients today, but I really appreciate that. So let's get into the fourth mistake, and I truly believe that this is something that could be prevented very easily. For instance, not asking for referrals. Do you guys think that this is one of those mistakes, not asking clients for referrals?
I think it is the biggest mistake.
The easiest way to grow your business is through referrals, but most agents never ask, right? So happy clients would refer friends if you make it easy for them, right?
Of course. Okay. I think Getting referrals is like basically getting free leads from the leads you already have. And just asking for referrals, you're going to get clients who are going to be much more loyal. Because when you offer a good customer service to one client, they're going to refer you to someone else recommending you. And that other person who's going to come is going to be more trusting you because they got a referral from someone they know. And you could keep the referral going on until you basically, your schedule is full of people. And one person refer another and the other person refer another and the list keep going on. At some point, you will not even be able to keep up with your clients if you keep doing that.
And thank you for that tip, Mamda. And Beck, what is your take on this?
Yes, you could ask for referral directly and indirectly. By doing a good job, customer service, they automatically give you a referral, which is good. But when I speak to the client all the time, what I tell them is, look, this is my job day to day. And my job is to help as many people as possible every day. And if they want to compliment my work, I would tell them to share my number with the people, family, friends, and anybody in the community. Once I forgot to tell them, and one person I was helping, and before I hang up the phone, he stopped me. Hey, I have a question for you. Can I share your number with a family friend who wants to get the insurance? I said, yes, that's how you could compliment my work. Yes, my number is not secret, basically. It's not like a top secret number. So you can share it with anybody who wants health insurance. I'll be happy to help them. So you need to let them know this is your job to help them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. I remember when I was an agent starting off, and it wasn't easy. It was very hard, especially working in these communities like Coney Island, Harlem, Flatbush. It was super tough just starting off in the beginning. And I remember I would just tell people, hey, like after I would help them, I would tell them, hey, I would really appreciate it if there's someone that you have in mind, you know, to help me out or to recommend me. Right? Because this is really the way that I survive and I would like to continue being in this business. So I just started. From the perspective of someone who just starts, I think that you shouldn't be afraid to let people know the truth that this is how you survive. You just started. That you would have really appreciated if they could refer somebody else. But also, taking from what Mamdu has said, there's a saying that 80% of your business comes from 20% of the clients that you service. And if you really focus on that 20% that is happy with your service, they should have the likelihood that they would refer somebody to you is very high. And obviously that is a great place to start, right? But the one thing that I have seen that agents and brokers are just not doing, but they can do very effectively, is at the end of every conversation, somebody that you helped calls you and they need assistance or guidance to get their member ID card. Okay, you help them get their member ID card. But at the end of the conversation, you're getting a thank you, but are you asking them, hey, since you're happy with me, to compliment my services, be kind enough to refer somebody to me? Right? A lot of people are forgetting to do that, and this is a big deal, right? Every conversation that you have with every client should end with, is there someone that I could help, right? It should end with you requesting the lease referral. Do you guys agree?
Yes, of course.
100%.
All right. Now, so as far as the solutions go for the referrals, we've already reviewed some of the strategies and some of the things that we ought to be saying, right? And I appreciate your feedback and your tips, guys. I believe that it really goes a long way. So just telling people, hey, know someone who needs health coverage, send them my way, and I'll take great care of them. Or when you have people that are trying to show you some appreciation for doing some work for you, let's say they are giving you something for the holiday, and a lot of times we're not allowed to accept items or gifts, but you can always ask for a referral. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. You can always automate a referral request through SMS, email, which a lot of brokers are not doing, and this could help them a lot if you're able to automate. And you can also create a referral contest to past clients. So there are a lot of different things that you can do. Now, let's get into the fifth most common mistake, which is not retaining clients for renewals. You have a situation, you enroll a few clients, and you are not following up with them. Or you help them with a plan, but then you are nowhere to be found. Or they call your phone, you're not answering your phone. Or you enroll them, and then they don't have an avenue to contact you. They might have one phone number that they're calling, but they don't have another number where to reach you. And email communication, you're not providing that. You help this person, but you didn't give them your business card. These are all things that are very important to do. In other words, losing a client at renewal times means losing future commissions. So in other words, you know, if you're not keeping in touch, someone else would have grabbed them next year, right? So what do you guys think about that? What would be your take?
I think maintaining your clients or retaining your clients is very important, not just because it takes a lot of time and effort to make a client your own client or generate a lead. Mm-hmm. But then losing them, I mean, retaining them takes much less effort if you just give them a call once or twice a year or every 3 months, you just give them a call, make sure everything is okay with them. I think it's much easier to retain a client than having to go and get a new client after losing the client you already had. So if you put in the extra steps just of retaining your clients, over time, they're going to be very loyal to you. Initially, when I first started, I was getting clients, and then I would lose them after a month or two. But then over time, I realized that if I just give them a call once, 3-4 months, send them a text message, it will be much easier to maintain them. And that's how you build the commissions up, you know, over time.
Fantastic. Now, what if you have a situation where you are enrolling these clients, however, you're not following up on the documents that have to be uploaded? Are you shooting yourself in the foot?
Of course. Let's say you have 3 months to upload a document for New York City Health.
Uh-huh.
And you don't upload it. Instead of having them for 3 months, if you just take 5 more minutes, uh-huh, giving a call to the clients, uploading the documents, yeah, you could have them for 12 months or maybe even for the next 2-3 years. So that makes your commission going from just 3 months worth of commission to multi-year commission. So it makes a huge difference, even though most people overlook it or they don't bother to follow up with the clients. I think it's very important to follow up with them.
Okay, fantastic. And thank you for sharing that. I think it's really important because I think that there are people who are really trying to get their feet wet here, but they don't always see these nuances that exist, especially with the New York State of Health system and the marketplace and all the technical glitches and errors that they have and the uploading of the documents, which some people miss. It could be one document that you miss and then these people lose coverage. And then the time that you spent with this client to help them get the coverage, you're going to lose your commission on that, right? And that's not good because you want to make sure that you're retaining that business. Now, what do you think about this, Beck?
Well, I agree with Mamdo, what he said. You know, it's easier to maintain what you have already, and they gave you the green light already to help them. All you got to do is follow up, do whatever needed to be done there, upload the document, or just renew it for the following year. And this is the easiest thing to maintain your book of business and keep getting a commission. You already did the hardest part, which is selling it to them. And you just don't want to throw the money out of your pocket, just ignoring what is already in your dashboard. You have a notification telling you, those are the clients that you have to renew. All you got to do is, let's say you have, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 member on your notification. Even if 30, if you do one a day, you're going to finish it in a month. So, I don't think it's hard to do it, and you should just take 5 minutes, like Mandu said, renew it, upload it, and keep your money in your pocket instead of throwing it out in, into the garbage, I would say.
Fantastic. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And add something. By doing that, you're also asking for a referral. Once again, reminding them that you're there. Hey, I am renewing your coverage. I'm uploading your documents. I'm still here. You can reach out to me when you have a question, or if we could help more people. If you have any family members or friends, think of us. And this is my number. You're just refreshing their mind. It's another chance for you to increase the sales by renewal.
And also, just to add on to whatever it is that you're saying, sometimes if the person does not have a referral for you, they can keep you in mind, or you can ask them to leave you a nice review, right, which can go a very, very long way, which is also very important. Now, so we touched up here on a few different topics here. I'm sure that all of us have made these mistakes sometime in the past or maybe in the present. I appreciate that you guys took out your time to share this information. I think this information is very valuable, especially when it's coming directly from some of the top guys in the industry. Honestly, there are so many good, positive things that could be done, such as using a CRM or a back office, like with affordable care agents, setting it up so that, you know, you can get reminders, so that your clients can get reminders, and so on and so forth. Educating clients, you know, before open enrollment about their new options, and building long-term relationships with personalized check-ins and whatnot. All this information is really valuable. Guys, I really appreciate your feedback here. And if you avoid these five mistakes, we promise you that you'll see more conversions, higher commissions, and better client retention. And if you want more strategies, you can visit Beck or Mamdu at affordablecareagents.com, or send them an email, or hop into one of the offices and say hi. We're here, and we're here to help, and we're passionate about what we do. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Beck. Thank you, Mamdu. It was great to have you at this podcast. And keep in mind, this is episode 1 out of 3 episodes. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And stay tuned for the next episodes that are going to be coming up. And we promise to make it as engaging as this one. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.